Good morning, everyone. Welcome to DYN 101, which is Technology Changes in Microsoft Dynamics NOD 2013. It's a lovely mouthful, isn't it? So this has been presented by Jörg Rau from Theta Systems with the assistance of myself. So I'm Sutra Skork from Microsoft in New Zealand.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So my name is Jörg. Hope everybody can spell that and pronounce it. So yeah, I ran through the demo demonstrations this morning, and I'm not sure if you have been yesterday to this keynote speaker where everybody was digging out a picture from the first computer. I didn't. So more to that later. So because as I saw this first computers, and I thought, isn't it all about the software? So exciting hardware. And that made me think about when I came first time in touch with Navision, which was actually the DOS version, which is now quite a while ago. So, but as I started as a consultant for Navision, Navision Attain, as it was called, so I did my first exam in 2003, so it's 9 years ago, and spent my time primarily for Navision. So, as you know, Navision has been changed, or has been bought by Microsoft in 2002, and then changed the name in 2005 to Microsoft Dynamics NOV, as we call it today. So, before we begin further, so a little bit about myself. So, you probably could tell from my accent, I'm a German. So, I'm one of the few guys played rugby in Germany. As I came here, I actually never played since. I found it too brutal. So, but I have another hobby, which is sailing. Here, and you see my boat. Both together, yeah. So flying makes success. So if you haven't got a boat yet, make sure that you see me outside, and let us discuss it.
Okay, well, as I mentioned before, I'm Sue Driscoll from Microsoft, so I've been the Dynamics ERP specialist at Microsoft in New Zealand for the last 8 years now. Gosh, that seems a long time. I returned to New Zealand in 2004. Prior to that, I was working for JD Edwards in the UK for many years as a JD Edwards consultant over there, and I did a lot of handling implementing software around Europe, which meant I couldn't do online gaming. So that was really good, because when I came back to New Zealand, I was able to actually stay in one place, and that's a picture of one of my raiding tombs of World of Warcraft, which is a game I played. So lots of fun there. So I've worked with the New Zealand partners on helping them keep up to date with all the ERP software. So for Dynamics, that is Dynamics AX, Dynamics NAV, Dynamics GP, and Dynamics SL. For Dynamics NAV, I've actually got a couple of certifications in the current release, which is 2009, so I've certified in trade and in finance in that area. And I also love technology, as all the partners will tell me, when the Windows Phone 7 came out, I couldn't stop going on about it. It's a lot of fun. So what we're going to look at this morning, for the next hour, is Microsoft Dynamics NOV. We'll have a quick look at it for those of you who don't know Dynamics NOV. Anyone here not know Dynamics NOV? A few of you? Yep, okay, that's good. But I know quite a few people who do, which is really good. So we'll have a look at that. You might have heard Jörg's already called it Navision, which is what it was called prior to the name change in 2005, and also heard some people call it Dynamics NAV. And you don't call it NAV.
No, I don't know, I You should know.
Yes. So there's a lot of technology changes coming in the next release of Dynamics NOV 2013, which we're going to look at. And so we're going to focus on four areas for that. Firstly, the self-serve business intelligence. By self-service, of course, we mean business intelligence that doesn't need a programmer to produce for you. So we're going to be looking at a couple of the new chart options that are available in Dynamics NOV 2013. Secondly, we'll look at modifying a page. So with this release of NOV, there are no more forms. The classic client has completely disappeared. And we had pages that came along in the 2009 version, so now that's how all they are. We're going to have a look at how you can now develop a page a lot easier, the new extra bits and pieces they've added there. And while we're doing this, we'll also see two of the clients. So the clients are now the Windows client, the web client, and the SharePoint client. Thirdly, we're going to look at deployment and administration. So Dynamics NAV is going to be the first ERP product from Microsoft that's going to be in the cloud. So that's probably not coming out when it initially releases, just slightly later, but that's still very exciting for us to actually have a product in the cloud. So our customers will have the choice of deploying Dynamics NAV on-premise, partner-hosted in the cloud as well. And lastly, we're going to look at the query objects in OData, which is the tools a power user could use to get additional information from their system. And this will give us some time at the end of the session to answer any questions you may have. So Microsoft Dynamics NAV, formerly known as I've said, it collects all your business functions into a fully integrated ERP system. So ERP is Enterprise Resource Planning, or software that runs your business. It's easy to learn, simple to use, and quick to implement. It comes with a rapid start module to help you get up to speed very quickly and easily. And it even includes a default project schedule to enable you to actually use as the basis of your implementation project. The screenshot here shows the home page or the role center for an accounting manager. Now, Dynamics NAV comes with, I think, more than 20 role centers out of the box. And the idea of these role centers is that they give you the information that you need to do your job effectively. You can see across the top, it's got the sort of ribbon bar that we're used to in Microsoft Office. As we said, it shares close ties with Office. In fact, when you look at it, you can almost see where you've got the navigation bar down the side, which looks like Outlook, and across the top, the ribbon bar, as we said, that looks like that you get in Office and Excel, etc. But what we also have in there is features that are actually fundamental to your role. So for an accounting manager, for example, you can see the activities, the purchase invoices due today. You can see a graph over on the side, which is one of the new charts, the customer sales and profit, which is actually linked to the customer list below. You've got your customer list that you can see on there, which you can actually go and add your own customers on there, and then the chart will reflect those customers that you've added on there. And you can also see there's a notification area so that other people who are using NAV in your business can put notes about a particular customer or item or product or whatever and send that note to you so you see it when you log into Dynamics NAV. So we've got over 250 customers in New Zealand. I've just put four up here, which Jörg, can you briefly tell us about them?
Yes, I choose those four customers here because they're all different. So Holdfast is an import and distribution company in Hamilton, specializing in adhesives. And we won actually the ERP Partner of the Year Award last year with that implementation and what we did for them. So they, for example, they do 50% of all their orders now electronically via EDI, and it's full barcode scanning, and so all with NAV. So the second one is interesting. Everybody knows Fonterra, and everybody who's in the milk industry is watching this morning again, so that was 6% up. So Open Country is actually the second biggest dairy exporter here in New Zealand, so running NAV. And the third one, Perry Group, is very interesting, down in mostly in the Waikato, because they have multiple different companies, from running a quarry to galvanizing plants, over distribution and plumbing, and they run those different companies all in the same database with the different needs. And the ones here, Auckland, you probably know them all, so it's not hostels, it's also gyms and daycare, and they run NAV as a financial system.
For our international ones, as you can see worldwide, we have over 80,000. Actually, I think it's closer to 90,000 now, so it's a very well-known and well-supported ERP system. We have over 1 million people who use Dynamics NAV every day. That's the number of concurrent users we have logging in, which is quite exciting, really. So Brother, you've probably all heard of Brother. I mean, I myself have a Brother printer. So the Malaysian unit of Brother International in Malaysia, has been using was using a local accounting system and decided to upgrade to Microsoft Dynamics NAV 2009. And really one of the reasons for that was its real-time capability and the drill down that you get with it. So it made them able to make the right business decisions much faster than prior. Rentokil Initial, so Rentokil you've probably all heard of as well. We tried to pick names that you guys would have heard of, though I'm not sure about the one on the right there. So they've got 68,000 employees and they're running Dynamics NAV. Emirates Foodstuffs and Group, that's the funny little icon on the right there. So they are a publicly listed food and beverages company in the United Arab Emirates. Osho Chemicals is one of the largest agrochemical manufacturers and distributors in Kenya. So they look after veterinary medicine, industrial chemicals and public health, things like that. And Metabo Power Tools uses Dynamics as a hub and spoke system. So they are a very big company and they've got SAP at the head office and around their subsidiaries are using Dynamics NAV. Okay, on to the first demonstration, which is our self-service business intelligence.
Thanks, Sue. We picked four demos in total. You know, there's a lot of technology changes in NAV 2013. There's a lot of application changes as well. So we had to make a decision what to do in 1 hour. So I think the self-service business intelligence is one key element of it. So we can just swap. It works. I know there's some people haven't seen Dynamics NAV before, so some have. So, and the one who know already, the Windows client, as it is called now, the former Rotelec client, will spot that the ribbon is something which is new and come into place. But we had charts before. So charts in the role center was something we had, but the limitation we had always was that charts could only be placed on one table. So this has changed now, so we can have charts also placed on different on queries, which is in the object, which I'm going to show you later on. So the selection we had before was that you could go from build in charts and choose the one you wanted. So the one in the bottom here is the tables, those ones we knew before, the ones on the top now with queries are the ones which are new. But the good thing is, in the past, you had to have asked somebody helping you with creating a new chart, so to configure this. So this is now something a script user can do by himself. So and it's very good. So the query object which I used for this sales and profit one is, as Sue already said, is combining different data for different tables and also the My Customer table. So as soon as you change it, it is changing also the charts. So and what I want to show you now next is another two changes. So we have now a new chart type which we call special chart. Special charts give us a little bit more functionality, and what we want to do is we have a look on the new cash flow chart. So there's a new cash flow module in NAV 2013. And I'm not going to expand the cash flow module completely, but I want to show you the chart. So the first thing is I bring in the chart. So I'm logged in as an accounting manager, and I got my profile as accounting manager. So now I pretend to be one, and of course I love cash flow. And when I customize my page here, you see this is a cash flow chart which I want to bring in. So I can bring it to the left here and maybe up so that I get the best use of my space. And say, okay, so now I have changed now the role center for me as a user, that if you log in as config mode, you can do this for the whole profile, and all users assigned to this profile will get exactly this. So let's have a look on this chart now. So this chart shows cash coming in and out, and I have now some options here on the top. So I can switch between different options to change the appearance. So for example, I can also get my combined chart, which gives me my accumulated cash flow going forward. I can hover over things as before, but I can also change my grouping. So the cash flow objects gives me the ability to find different sources of cash in and out, and also I can create my own chart of accounts for cash flow. So if I swap that now to a source type, See, I've got a stacked bar chart right away. And this is always live on the data on the entries, which is underlying behind it. So when I hover over this now, you see this is now the cash flow, the revenue, and over here we've got the sales order. So the ability of this new special chart is that they also can drill down. So people who used to work with NLU love this drill down everywhere. So now we can do this also in charts. So if I click on this one, it opens up all my sales orders behind it, and I can take it from there and just go further and have a look on the sales order. So it's nice, isn't it?
That's exciting. What do you think, guys? How many people get excited by cash show? You all do, don't you? Yes, absolutely.
So let's go a little bit further, because we have also a new special chart for performance. So in this accounting area, this is the finance performance chart. So this exists also in other areas like sales and inventory and purchase. So what I want to start with is the account shadows. So the account shadows is something we had always had in NLU, and I think the most people love it. So the account shadows give me the ability to define my own reports, financial reports, where I define my own rows and columns. So I prepared one, which is the revenue one. And what I want to do first is give you an idea how this looks like and how I configured it. Sorry, edit the account shadow. So what you see here is that I put some rows in which I want to report on. So I'll just give it a title and call it revenue. I want to break down my revenue and my sales of retail and domestic and export. And I get the source of this information from an account. So if I choose one an account from the chart of accounts here, you see this is now the first account I choose. This is the second one, the third. So at the end, I have a total. And the same information I use here from the accounts is used in this bottom line, where I choose the same account range. But now I want to swap the sales not by type, but domestic and export. I want to use a dimension I've introduced here, which is the area dimension. So I break it down in the same way and just apply some filters. So what I want to show you is now how it looks like in an overview. So, and you see this is now my rows again, and I just define them the same way, columns. So I just choose three columns, which gives me the change, the budget, and the variance. So what we do, we go for this demo that a little bit back in time. I'll fast forward. And so I can choose my view by months, and I just choose a certain month now, January. And with my next period, I always get go through. You see the changes now coming through of the data, and I always have the chance of drilling down behind it. So now, this was always great, and I always could export this to Excel, and then, but if I have complex scenarios, we saw it yesterday, this enabling this is from this guy from the New York Times, Jeremy, how complexity can be put back into one chart and a diagram. So we want to do the same. So if you have something more complex, and now let's say I want to see my revenue breakdowns over a period of time in my months with my domestic and export, and I would like to visualize this, I can do this now. So based on that account chart which I prepared before. So I will go back to the role center and bring in this new chart. So this is the finance performance chart, and I will bring this up, and just give you guys a better view here. So solution. So at the moment I haven't defined any chart. So what I have to do is I select a chart, and I have to create one first. So brand new. And call it my revenue, revenue chart. And now I choose the account chart which I've used before, which is the revenue. And start my time on 1st of January 2013. The period length I want to have months. And I'm happy with the number of periods, show 12, so I show a full year now. And
this this access summarized now from the back end, or is it accessing all of the transactions?
It depends on how I set up the account channel. So this account channel has been set up by an analyzer's view, which is aggregating data together, but I can set it up right away to the GL entries. So in every way, it is real-time data, which I see. So I get, when I choose the account channel, I get a proposal of columns here. So what I want to do is just edit and deselect all, because I want to make my own choices. So you see, probably you notice again, these are the rows we had before. So what I want to see is the net change of my domestic, and I have different options here to show this information in the graph. So I want to use the stack column, because I want to put the domestic and the export on top of it. So do the same with this F8, copy from above, it's still the same. I'll just do this with this one as well. And let's have a look how it looks like. So that's all what I have to do. And say okay. And choose this. And voila. So this is now the chart based on my account channel. And as you saw before with the cash flow, I can still hover over the information, and by clicking I can drill down into the entries to see if this is the accumulated entry from the analyzer's view. So I find that very exciting, so because now it gives you full flexibility to use your own accounts which you have before, if you're already on NLB 2009 or before, and then put a chart on top of this. But as an accountant, that's fine that I see the actuals, but I want to see more, I want to see my budgets now. And I saw that before in my account channels. So let's go back and make a change. And go back into my chart. And so I've got the budget column here. So what I want to use is use the total budget and put it in as a line. So, and click OK. And now I've got my line in here. So now I have the ability just to have different kind of charts or types in my old center. What I forgot to say actually is that the chart we see on the right now can also be shown now on list pages, not only on the old center. So we can have them in every list as well. So.
Okay, so wasn't that exciting, guys? Are you all enthused about the new opportunities in NAV 2013? So Jörg showed us the new cash flow chart, which is based on the new module, the cash flow module, which has arrived, as I said. I just said it's new. We've got our account schedule chart. So account schedules are a fabulous part of NAV for any accountant or any person who gets excited by finance, where you can define your rows and your columns. And now, instead of having to export it to Excel, a fabulous product, of course, to see all the trends and everything, you can now see those trends on a chart that you can put onto your home role center. So every day when you log into Dynamics NAV, you can see the state of your business that you've defined using an account schedule in a graphical format right on your home center. So, great, what will this mean? Accountants will be happy, finance people will go, wow, fantastic. And of course, the great thing about it, as you have just showed you there, you don't need to be a programmer to do that. It's self-service business intelligence, because everyone likes pictures. Okay.
So we go right into the next demonstration, which is about page modifications. So, but before we go into the pages, let's have a look first on the new development environment. So, so this is your old Object Designer as we know it. So, but you see, yeah, the forms are definitely gone. There's no forms anymore, and so we have the pages. But you probably notice that there is no data ports as well. So.
This is if you know NAV 13,
yeah.
You're a developer.
So this is, yes, a bit for the techie, and we said technical changes. So the data ports are gone, but if you still have the requirements to import or export flat files or comma-separated files, the XML ports can handle this. And the good news is the XML ports can be run directly, so we don't have to wrap it with a code unit anymore, so we can just say and run. So now we have actually all objects which you see in the Object Designer can be run now. So, and the query, which is a new object, which I'll show you later. So, very common is that in an when companies use an ERP system, they always use it a little bit different. So people want to make some changes. And most of the changes are getting done on pages, how you want to have users viewing this information. So what I want to show you is now, first before we go and change a page, have a look on a page. So I choose now the, I want to go on the customer and the customer list. So you see this is a list of my customers. This is my fact boxes, my specific ribbon. So when I choose now a page, a customer page, see still the fast tabs. I've got my specific fact boxes over from this customer, and I can open and close the fact boxes. So the fast tabs. So what I want to show you is now first that I don't like that the city is down there, so I want to make it a little bit different. I want to put the city up to the address, and ideally have the city and the postcode next to each other instead of underneath, and I don't want to use the county field. And also the requirement where we wanted to create a new field, so I added a new field on the customer table, which I call customer priority, which is just simple, an option field of A, B, and C. I don't want to bring this in, so delete something, add something, and change it. That. As it is now also, and it comes in different clients, I want to show you also the web client now. So you see how it looks like in the Windows client. Now compare for yourself how the web client looks like. So I'm just going to close that and minimize it. So what I'm going to do is, and you forgive me for that, I don't want to show the new Internet Explorer, so because other explorers are supported as well. Of course, it works on the Internet Explorer, but it also works in Chrome, Safari, or Firefox. So that means you can use it actually anywhere, anytime now on your devices. So I'll log in now, get my message about that's the demo database. So this is the role center now, and the same accounting manager in a web client. You don't have to install anything on the browser. It's just open it up, and you can try it on your iPads or Android tablets, and it works really nice. So what we do is we just go do the same. We go on the customer list. So with the customer list, I have also my fact boxes here, and I open my customer. So this is my customer cart. This is my fast tabs, my fact boxes. And I can open and close them as I showed you before on the Windows client. So very, very similar. So we said actually showing the SharePoint client. We haven't got the time to do that, but the web client here, the SharePoint client, looks exactly the same. It's just embedded in SharePoint. Right? So now let's have a look on the page change we want to do. So I go back to the development environment on the page. And I choose my customer card, which is the page I want to change. So I go in design mode, and you see this is an XML style configuration of the page. So we had this before, that's fine, but what is new now, and my resolution lets me down here, is the preview button down here. So if I click this preview button, I get the page in preview mode, and I'll just bring it over a little bit so that you can see it better. And so I don't have to just make a configuration, save it, and go and run it in the Windows client. I can see what I've done now right over here. And the beauty is, as soon as I click on any kind of field you see on the left, it jumps right away to the area where I have the definition. And that works also on top of the Windows actions. So as soon as I click on it, it brings it up, and I know exactly the point where it is. So the change I want to do is get rid of the county field. So I click on this one and go over here and say right click and say delete. So this deletes that and it refreshes my page. So you see this is gone right away. Now I want to bring the city field up, and I just go click on city so that I get on the left hand side. Just bring that over my configuration, and now I use this arrow button here on the bottom to bring the city up. You see, every time I click it, it is coming up and it's refreshing my page. So I want to put the city on top of this, so, and my postcode. And the next thing is I have a new field I want to bring in. So I want to bring this in here just after that. So create a new line and choose my field. So I just type it in. Yeah, and here's my new field, which I created earlier on the table.
All these customizations
carry
over to the next version, or do you have to reapply the next version?
Oh, so when the new version comes in, you have to merge them. So it's merge tools to merge your changes. So now I want to show you what we have here is we can change the layout much more in the page as before. So I want to use a grid layout, and the grid layout offers me the ability to bring things maybe in different rows and different columns. So because I like to have the address area here nicely to enter an address, so I want to have the city first and the postcode second. So to do this, I'll just go in and create a new row and choose the group. And the subgroup I choose now is the grid layout, which is new. So in the grid layout, I just go on the properties and define now what kind of layout I want to use. So in this case, I want to use columns. So although I have only two fields, but I want to have two columns with a field each. So I choose the column. And now what I have to do is to give the a column. Or for each column I want to do further, I make another subgroup. So I do this just quickly here. With F3 I can add a new row as well. I just put a group in. I do the same here on the postcode, F3 and group. So now all that I have to do is indent the field to the groups. So it's underneath. The same as this one. And now I have to bring those two underneath that grid layout group. So, let me see now, I've got my city and my postcode next to each other. So now let's have a look how that looks like in the Windows client and also in the web client in the browser. So I just close it and say save. So I'll go back to my Windows client and open up the page again. You see now the city and the postcode is next to each other, and I can change the customer priority over here. So, but because I've deployed it right away to the database, and we have the central NIB server, so it is now also deployed on the web. So when I go back to my browser and open up this page again, so you see that I've got my city and my postcode here, and now I've got my priority, which I change back and say okay. So one change deployed everywhere right away. So, how do you deal with that?
Can customers do this, or is it still a developer's license?
Our customers can do that. You see, I didn't touch any code, so I was the page designer, we're able to do that. Yeah.
Okay, so what do we see that's new? And just here, okay. Preview was the big one. That's fantastic. If you think of the amount of time, if you're changing a form or anything, that you do the change, then you have to compile it, go and have a look, come back, no, it's not quite right. Now you can see straight away, and as soon as you move something, it refreshes straight away. It's a huge time saver there for everybody. Second, we now have the option of the grid layout, so it just gives us a little bit more flexibility in how we're actually going to show the fields on the form rather than just having them in the standard way they've always done before. And of course, the big change is we no longer have to do separate developments for the web as opposed to the classic client, or well, there is no classic client, the Windows client. It's all done in one place and is deployed everywhere straight away as soon as you actually save it. Fantastic.
Yeah, this picture shows a little bit better the architecture and the deployment. So we have, the classic client is gone, and that means we haven't got any client server deployment anymore. So it's three tier all the time. So also the Seaside database is gone. I'm not sure how many people still use the Seaside database, but I came across them who are still in New Zealand. So, but the good thing is because this is gone now, this code in NIV doesn't have to support two databases anymore. So that gave Microsoft the opportunity to make significant changes on the server side. So, and we have new clients now, which is the Windows client, the SharePoint client, and the web client. So what I want to do is now tell you a little bit more about the middleware, the NIV server. itself and looking under the hood a bit over the server. So that's always a little bit hard because it's all in that server. So, but I have also a new administration console where I can configure my settings for the MVP server in one central place, and I'm going to show you that. And that helps me a little bit to also explain what has changed on the server side. So, the Dynamics MVP administration console is a management console snap-in. So, and from here, there's one central place where I can control all my instances of an MVP server. So you see, this is the one instance we have, and this is also the first big change. So before, we had two instances for the client and for the business web service, for the SOAP web service. So this has been combined into one. Now we have one instance having all services and provide all services. So you see the running state here. I can just stop and run it from here. I don't have to go to services anymore. And it's actually very easy to add new instance if I need to. So I can everything do it from here, from the console. That's very nice. So let me go on to the configuration of an instance. You see now we have the different services with the different ports here, shown in the same way as in NRE with the fast tabs. So I've got my client service, which is for the Windows client, and the SOAP web service. We had this before, but you see also the OData service. The OData is Open Data Protocol, which is a web protocol that allows us to query using web technologies. So it makes it really easy now just to get information out of another system by querying it. So I'll show you an example in the next demo of that. So one central place, and you can change it with the edit button. So you don't have to look for the config files anymore somewhere in the folders. It can be done all from here and changed. And so I don't go to explain all the fields here. That would take me a little bit longer. I want to point out the new things which we have. So one new thing is the credential types. So we have now four different credential types, and an instance can run with one of those. So the Windows one is the Active Directory. So single sign-on with Windows client, or if you could saw before, even with the browser, if I open it up on my desktop, it's locking me in into with my Windows Active Directory credentials. So the username is the Windows local users of the server, which I can set up. And now the NRE user password is exciting because we still have sometimes the need of what we call before the database login. So in environments like in a warehouse where we have picker 1, 2, 3, where people change over time, so a lot of customers want to have a database login, which we had before. But the trouble with this one was that we had to go to the SQL Server first, create a new database login, come back to NRE, and set up the permissions. So we don't have to do this anymore. So this was the NRE user password. We design or create a new user, define the password, and assign the permission and rules all in NRE. So, and the last one, access control service. So this is for the deployment in Azure. So this is Azure is handling then all the permissions of the user authentication. So also, you see the database settings and the login account. So a major change has been done in the way NRE 2013 accesses the SQL Server. So what I should say first is this is a 64-bit application now. So it's a 64-bit server and needs also a 64-bit edition of the SQL Server. And but because we have 64-bit now, so we can make much better use of the hardware, especially memory, which gives me better scalability and also huge improvement in performance. So the performance was also significantly changed by the way we access the database. So before we had the ODBC, and now we have a SQL native client, Azure.NET. So, and that means that not every user who connects to the database automatically creates a new session on the SQL Server as we had before. So we can make use now of connection pooling, and we can use make of caching. So we call it MAS, which multiple access result sets. So this is now a huge benefit on this because it consumes less resources on the SQL Server. And so let's have a look on the different services. So every services which we have can be enabled or disabled, and I can change my ports. And because we've just gone away completely from the client-server environment, you might have asked yourself, what happens to the NAS, the NRE application server? So where is it now? So this has been now also included into that 64-bit application as a multi-threaded version of this. So it means we can finally just have multi-threaded, multi-processor at the same time running on the NAV server. So, and this is part of it here as well. What I also like is the way we can start it up. So we have startup methods and startup arguments, which gives us the ability to start up the application server in a different mode based on what we have already delivered with NAV. But if you developed a new code unit because you made a new integration, an e-commerce integration into other systems or developed something around, we had actually changed code in the code unit one, so we don't have to do that anymore. So we can define the code unit and also the method in the code unit right away here. So we don't have to change that. Configure it here, save it, and run it. So that was really a nice change. And the management services, yeah, everything I see here in the configuration can actually be changed with the PowerShell API we have now. So we can do scripting. And also the objects which we bring in with the object designer, normally with import and export, this can be scripted now as well. I think this is great for staging environments if you want to do some automation with scripting behind it. Yeah. Do you have a
No, I think that's it.
All right.
So we just took a look at the new administration console, which is a Windows Server Snapper to allow you to set up all the instances and services. You don't no longer have to go to the actual Windows services to actually do that. So you can set up the NAV server, the SOAP web service, the OData web service, and the NAV application server. And as you had mentioned, you can also change these along with a PowerShell API, which is fantastic. So that actually saves a lot of time for people there. So a question for you guys out there. Can anyone remember at least two of the four types of authentications we can now do within the...
Yes,
Karen?
You can do any
user
password.
Yep.
And you can do Azure
access controls. Azure access controls. Excellent. So I think we've got a little gift of...
And a
Whittaker's
chocolate.
And a Whittaker's chocolate. Whittaker's actually run Dynamics as well. Fantastic. So well done. Okay, can anyone name the other two? That was two there, the Active Directory and the Azure, and there's two more.
Windows and username.
Yes, there was the standard NAV username, and there was a new one that saved you going into the database. NAV user password.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So very good.
Do we have 2 minutes now?
Do you want to hand out two more hats?
Yeah.
Assuming you've got some. So. Yep. And this gentleman over here, thank you.
So now that you have a cat now, you need a boat, you know that, right?
Indeed. It's not a giveaway, unfortunately. So guys, we learned in there that the NAV application server is now a full .NET service, which is great, so it can handle your job queues and communications, and it's 64-bit server, of course, which gives it the ability to use more memory, more hardware resources, etc. So OData is the new web service within Dynamics NAV, so that's an addition, as well as SOAP, which was already there, and again, you can set this up in the administration console. All the servers, as you mentioned, are now 64-bit, so you get all the advantages of that before, increased performance, increased use of your hardware. And we've got the SQL client, ADO.NET or ADO.NET, I'm not sure, what is the correct pronunciation?
ADO.
Bad. ADO.NET to access the database, so that gives us options such as connection, pooling, and caching, as you mentioned. And, of course, it doesn't require the setup delegation. Did you mention
that? No, I didn't actually. Yeah, that's a single deployment. So if you have the database and the server and the client on three different servers, you had to set up delegation before. So this is gone now, so the deployment is much easier.
Okay, and I see the NAV techies going great, and the others going so. But it's more exciting, guys, you can be sure of that. Okay, and now for our...
Which comes to our last demo. Yeah, so the query object in OData website is two new things. So what I see very often is that I get requirements that companies want to be easy to deal with and want to offer their customers or vendors some information. So like showing the last invoices they have, or for customer portal or showing the stock levels for vendor managed inventory for the vendors. So at the end, we want to bring information down to a web. So I choose now these two new things to show you how quickly this can be done. So first, we have a query object to define data for multiple tables. So I use this as invoice header in the search invoice lines, which is a very easy example, and then deploy this query as an OData web service, and then I'll just develop in Visual Studio a little web page which is consuming this this web service. So the first thing is I have to create a query. So so this again, it doesn't have to be done by a developer, so a customer can do this as well. So we go first in the object designer and choose the queries and create a new object. So the first thing I have to do is just define my data source, and what I do is now just select the sales invoice header. So, and from the sales invoice header, I want to use some fields. So I could just go and just create the columns by myself and choose them, but if I go over here and choose the field menu, I actually have a chance to select with the control key the fields I want to use. So in this case, I want to use the sell to customer number, so the invoice number, and the posting date. So that should do. And system asks me if you want to add those. Yes, I want. So now I have my field selected from this table. So the second thing I want to do is now just bring the sales invoice lines to it and link it together. So I choose now the data item, but you can see I can also choose a filter. So if I have data or fields which I don't want to present as part of the data set, I want to make it available to apply a filter, then I can define those filters here as well. So I choose now a data item and choose the sales invoice line and go on the properties and now choose a data link between this. So if I go on this assist button, I can choose the fields which are linked together. So I know that the document number in my sales invoice line table is corresponding to the invoice header to the number field. So I choose this. So if you have a primary key which is based on multiple fields, then you just have to add some more. So this is the link. The next thing is that I can just choose a type here. I just want to point that out. So we do have also, next to the options here, a SQL advanced option. So everybody who just did some SQL querying probably knows that left outer join and inner joins and those things. So you can define how you want to have the results that's coming back, because at the end you build a query here. So I can leave it to left outer join, which is fine with me, and want to bring in fields of the lines. So I just choose my field menu again, and this time I want to use my type, my number, the description, and then some quantity and the amount field. So actually sales lines can exist from different types, so because of my customer portal, I want to only show what items somebody bought, the customer. So what I do is I go on the properties of this field and apply a column filter on top of this. So where I just chooses to like item. So I'm almost there. So I want to show you now a little bit the method types. So when we have a field here like the date field, we have the opportunity just to choose date. So what it was doing is splitting that date into the different components. So it could have multiple rows and just cut out the day, the month, and the year, so which is good for grouping. So I can leave it as it is and just have the date coming through. So this is very handy as well. So I change it back to none. And when I have some quantity fields, I want to maybe use the total fields where when I choose totals, you see as a default the sum comes up automatically and I have a chance of different aggregation forms like a count and an average. But also because I choose this, it will group in the other fields automatically for me. So what I want to do here is just do the same for risks and leave it to sum. Now I have now two columns which have the same field. So we have the number here and the number here. So what I want to do is I change this to item number, just to take them apart. and I'm done. So what I do is then I just save it on this control file save, and now we have a range from 50,000 to 99,999 where we can save custom objects. So I want to do this here and just choose 50,010 and give it a name, sales invoice. Maybe query and save it. Yep. So now you see this is my new object, the Defender query. And I said before, every object can be run right from here, from the objective, and so we can do the same with the query. So if I say run, it's logging into my Windows client and brings up the result of the query. So this is only the first time I can check if the data is as I wanted to. For example, if I'm not happy with the sort order, I could go back to the query and change the sort order as well. So now, this is fine, the query is working, and we can use the query in three different areas. We can build a chart on this, which we saw before in the role center. So we can use it in coding, so for us as developers, and we can deploy it as a web service, what we're going to do now. So, to do this, I go in the Windows client and have my web services menu. And so, this are only web services I deployed, and I want to create a new one. And yeah, pages and code units always could have been published as a web service in previous versions. Now we have the query as well. And choose my query I just created. And give it a name. So I follow that naming convention by sales invoice. And as soon as I click this button here, publish, it is available as a web service. So let's have a look how that looks like in a browser. So this time it's Internet Explorer. So what I've done is I just have a shortcut here, so I can quickly explain this. So this is my server. This is the port which we saw before in the administration console where the SOAP, the OData web service is listening to. This is my instance name, and it's just OData gives me the description of my OData web service. So you see these Q sales invoice came through, and when I just choose this one and copy and paste this over here, so I can actually see my data coming through, and here we go. You see, this is my sell to customer number, posting date, the items, and scroll through. So everybody knows a little bit about OData, which is a standard. So we can actually just go further in the URL and add some queries by ourselves. So, and what we want to do now is I just designed a little web page, and this is really just Visual Studio. I don't show you any code. But I can you if you want to. I'm happy to share this. Really, it's four lines of code to make a little web page. So, and what I've done is just put in a field the customer number, which is going to the cell to customer number, and give me the result set. That's all what I want to do. So I saw before there was a customer number 10,000, so I can do that and type it in and just submit it. And now I just get back my result. So, of course, it's not formatted, but that is four lines of code really in Visual Studio to make that happen.
So, and now,
this is how easy it is now to define a data set which you want to expose as a web service and consume with a different system like a web page.
On the
screen,
you chose the ability to do some, you can obviously have a account as well. I mean, I often get asked, how many sales lines have I got?
That sales of, can you filter by on that
to say I just want to include the account for
line
title item
or
for example
rate of
charge
rather than
document
item, so line
items?
Yeah, so we can apply filters. Oh yeah. So the question was if you can do filters on the query. So so there was, if I go back maybe to the query itself. So I applied one filter already on the line which I see, but I also can apply or give another filter column for a line which I don't return back to a result set. So every line I get back of a result set, I can always query on this. So you see, the sell to customer number is a field I exposed, and with my little web page, I just made a filter on this. So if I don't want to show the result sets completely, like I just want to have only the items type here, so I did apply this filter, and I choose here only types of items. So if I want to have a combined filter like only items and GL accounts but not fixed assets, then I can do it here. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Yeah, also the, if I go in an empty line and have the chance of an order by of different columns, so I can just forward the query as we do normally doing queries. So that was the last demonstration.
Run the report from the object designer to debug?
Yeah, so debugging is a debugger as well in the development environment. So, sorry. So the question was, is it still possible to debug a report? Or debug itself, yeah. So there's a new debugger available now, which is in the development environment. And this debugger allows me just to hook on any session actually running on the NMV server. So it doesn't have to be the session on my computer. So if you would log in and use a session on the server, I could just grab it and debug it remotely.
And your RTC was quite tricky
to debug. Yes, that's right. So, that has changed, yes. So that's right. So the difference was the RTC in 2009, we actually had to start Visual Studio. Visual Studio, we had to just attach to a process, went through C# code, and I had to go and do debugging. So this is now completely changed. So the debugger here is showing me the CAL code behind it, and it's actually very nice. And I also have the chance to set not just breakpoints, but I can also set conditional breakpoints. So if a certain value of a variable has a certain value, then only break then. And so, yeah, that's very nice. I'm very happy to see do better.
Right, so we saw in that last demonstration that with Dynamics NAV 2013, we can now create query objects. So we can join tables such as headers and lines, as Jörg showed us there. And that's a real time saver because it saves us having to go and get the header, come back, go and do another query to actually get the lines. We also had charts that were available on one table. Now these charts can also be based on queries, as we showed there. There's some example charts in the system such as delayed production orders and that customer sales and profit chart that we saw on the homepage. That's one of the new charts because it's based on a query. We can now also publish the Dynamics NAV data as an OData web service instead of, well, in addition to SOAP, so you can still use SOAP if you wish, but the OData gives you more new and flexible opportunities for interacting with the data. And the example that you have showed there was just doing a quick refreshable link on a web page that someone could come in to do it. So that's our presentation, guys. Thank you very much for coming along. We've just put our contact details up there. And I'll just flick forward a little bit too. We've got these slides that you'll be able to download from the TechEd portal. So we've just got a couple of links there to Dynamics NAV 2013 or the codename 7. That's this exciting special codename in Microsoft for NAV 2013 in there.
There's a second link we had is showing most of the information which is new, also the application changes. So if you want to see what has changed in new modules, so like the cash flow I mentioned, or we have timesheets now. So if you're interested in that, you could have a look and go through that.
Okay, just a reminder that this is the first of the Dynamics sessions. So straight after this, after the break in this room, we have got the very exciting Dynamics AX Retail, which I'll be co-presenting along with. And then after that, we've got some not so exciting CRM sessions. So they are exciting. Of course they are. Just not as exciting as ERP. Okay, and lastly, guys, don't forget to fill in your evaluations. Okay, And thank you, Jurg and I will still be around for questions, but thank you very much.
Yeah.